We don't actually know, and I read several commentaries in getting ready for this, and they all say, this could be possible, this could be possible, and that might be. What brought to my attention is that the fella that we know is called Cleopas, and at the cross, there was a lady called Mary, who was the wife of Clopas. Now, it's probable that Clopas and Cleopas are not the same, but, you know, in my naivety, I thought maybe this could be Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and they just got it. Anyway, probably not, but it made me think that, whilst we often think that it's there was two men there, and there may be reasons for assuming that, I still wonder why they only named one of them. I'm sorry, ladies, you know what it was like in those days, I'm sure. But anyway, here they are, whether there was a man and a woman, there were two of them, and they're on their way away from Jerusalem, on their way to Emmaus, about 7 miles away, and I imagine that they're trying to get away from it all. You know, from some of the things we read later on, I think they're a bit fed up with everything that's happened, and they're just not sure what to do next. So, if you don't know what to do next, let's just go home, and let's crash out, and let's see what happens when it all blows over. And there they are, going home, and I read these verses to you. They were talking to each other about all the things that happened, and as they talked and discussed, press the button, Jesus came. And it appears that he sort of caught them up somehow, and he walked along with them. And then this amazing verse, they saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. How could that be, if these people knew him well? And yet, we also know that Mary didn't recognise Jesus, first of all. And that may be because she was so many tears in the garden, she thought Jesus was the gardener. Or maybe, did Jesus look a bit different? We don't know. But straight away, as soon as when the disciples saw him and he appeared in the upper room later that day, he recognised him straight away. So I don't know for sure. Maybe it was just Jesus withholding their recognition in some way. But there he is, and he says to them, what are you talking about to each other as you walk along? And they stood still with sad faces. And I thought, why were they so sad? They've been through a lot, all right. Yes, I agree with that. But we'll find out that they knew a lot as well. But they were still sad. Well, let's have a look and see what they said. So press the button. And first Cleopas, perhaps. He was the one who started off. And he said, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days, as Jesus was pretending not to know what had happened to him? Slightly comical, do you think, you know? A bit bizarre. Press the button again. And I like to think it is. Say it with me. What? Don't you know? And, you know, there's Jesus. I'm sure Jesus has something of a sense of humour, you know. We're made like God in the beginning. God made us like himself, made us male and female, but to be like him. And so the fact that we have a sense of humour makes me think that God and Jesus have a sense of humour, if we can say that without being too irreverent. Press the button again, and you'll see what Cleopas started to tell him all about. And let me read the words to you in the Bible. He said, things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth. This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. But our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And that's a picture of Golgotha or Calvary as it is nowadays. And that's where it all happened. And then I wonder if this next verse was one of the reasons why they were so sad, because Cleopas went on to say, and we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. And we had hoped. Were they so sad because their hopes had been dashed? That's a hard thing, isn't it? And it's a hard thing when our hopes are dashed. But you see, the thing was, their hopes actually were realised. They just didn't know it yet. We had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. He was. He is. He's the one who sets us all free. But they hadn't worked it out yet. So can you imagine their sort of situation? You know, I've just noticed another text you've got there. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. We can lose hope when we don't fully understand, when we don't fully know, when things don't work out the way we had hoped them to. They had hoped that Jesus would be the conquering hero. They had hoped that Jesus would kick out the Romans. They had it in their own mind how this would work out. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm quite often like that. I have my own plan and view of the future, and I hope that God will do this and this and this. And it doesn't always work out like that. It doesn't mean to say that we have no hope. It seemed like they had no hope. But as we get through the story, you'll know that they discovered they did have hope. Cleopas went on to say, besides all that, this is now the third day since it's happened. And then, press the button again, maybe the other person, I don't know if it was Mary or whoever it was, took up the story and said, yes, and this morning some of the women in our group surprised us as they went at dawn to the tomb, but they couldn't find his body. So press the button and you'll see that's what the tomb, they think, was Jesus' tomb. There's two or three different sites in Jerusalem, but they went down to the tomb and pressed the button again. They went inside and they didn't find his body. They came back saying they'd seen a vision of angels, as we saw on the video, who told them that he's alive. Some of our other group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman had said, but they could not see him. So you can see now, they've got all the evidence, but they can't put it together. They know about Jesus dying, as the scriptures foretold. They know about Jesus' grave being empty, but they haven't put it all together. And so sometimes I think in our lives we're sad or we lose hope because we just can't put it all together. And humanly speaking, that's true. There's often times when we can't. We can't work it all out. We can't understand what God is doing. I wish I could. In fact, one of my favourite books ever is this one here, which I've probably sold to a few of you here before now. Who is God? Because it's got lots and lots of answers to questions that children ask. But when it comes down to it, lots of those questions are actually adult questions as well, that we may never know the answer to fully. You know, children ask questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? As an adult, I don't really know. I've got some answers in the book there. I've got some answers that I can work out. Why do people suffer? Who will go to heaven? Will good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell? I've got my own ideas about that as well in the Bible. And we can work some of those things out. Can God lift a stone? Can God make a stone so big he can't lift it? Answers on a postcard afterwards, please. Think about it. How can God hear all of us at the same time? How can God answer all of our prayers when farmers want it to rain so the crops will grow and the other people want sunshine so they can relax in their gardens? You know? And what happens when we're all praying for a lovely sunny weather to come in, especially the farmers, I expect, but all of us, and it snows again? You know? How do we work out whether God is answering our prayers or not? There are hard questions, and sometimes I'm sure that there are many things we won't know ever on this earth. But sometimes we get glimpses. So press the button and let's see what happens to these two. And in the Bible it says, so Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe everything the prophets told. I read the words foolish, it's a bit harsh, you know, more like how dull you are, and you know, haven't you been listening, and think a bit more carefully, and surely you know, don't you know your Old Testament? There are people I meet who say, of course, that in the Bible here, we don't really need to pay attention to the Old Testament, because obviously Jesus came and it's the New Testament, that's the key bit, and the Old Testament's a bit complicated and a bit hard work, and we don't really need to think about that, until we look and see what Jesus thought about the Old Testament. And in this story, I love it because he looks back into the Old Testament and he says, wasn't it necessary for the Messiah, that's him, to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all of the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of prophets. So that's just about all of the Old Testament, you know, beginning with the writings of Moses. Well, that's Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. That's what Moses wrote. So he started at that point and he worked his way all through. It's all of the Old Testament through the prophets. Wouldn't you have loved to be a fly on the wall then? When Jesus is explaining the Word of God, written by the power of the Holy Spirit to his disciples. Well, I just loved to hear what on earth that was about. And how long did it take? I don't know. 7 miles. Have you ever been on a walk with somebody and you get into such deep conversation and you're suddenly there? I'm sure that's how it was for Jesus and his disciples. Press the button again. I've got a picture of a scroll just to remind ourselves. That's how they had it in those days. And Jesus wouldn't have had the scroll with him. Those were kept in the synagogue. So it was all from memory. How did he do that? Not just because he was God, because they all did it. You know, even probably the fishermen and maybe Cleopas and his friend or wife, whoever it was, they probably would have known a lot of this by heart. Which reminds me, it's a really good thing to read the Bible, you know, like Scripture Union encouraged you to. And I can remember asking, when I was a student at university, I can remember asking Alec Mateer, who's quite a well-known Bible teacher in those days. Some of you might have heard of him. He's written commentaries and things like that. And I said, how do you know your... I was 19 and very naive and probably a bit foolish. How do you know your Bible so well, Mr. Mateer? And he said, well, I do three things. He said, every day I read a bit of the Bible. Okay, that was all right. I was doing my Scripture Union Bible reading notes even in those days, so I was doing that bit. And then he said, every year I read the Bible through. Oh, that sounds a bit of a challenge. How do you do that? Well, he said, I look at the back of the Bible and I find out how many pages there are, and it's usually about 1,200 or 1,300, and I divide it by 365, and that makes about 3 pages a day. So I just read 3 pages a day, just straight. So ever since then, I've done that. The third thing, I haven't really done very well. He said, every day I try to memorize a bit of the Bible. Now, I do memory verses, but he read memorized whole books of the Bible. I did try to memorize Philippians, but I have to confess before you, I gave up. But, see, those are the sort of ways of getting to know the Bible better that I was told years and years ago. But here, I love the idea that Jesus went through the whole Bible, probably from memory, and they understood it, and they knew how to relate to it. And as they came near to the village, it says in the Bible, to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. So press the button, and there they are. They're coming to their house, and they were going to go in, and Jesus was going to walk on past. But they said, no, don't go, stay with us. The day is almost over, and it's getting dark. So they went in to stay with him, and sat down to eat, press the button. They got some... wakey wakey at the back there, or is it broken? Can we have another pass, please? Oh, there we are. Yes, we've got the bread, and they asked him to say the prayer. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread, and broke and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognised. That's something we could pray for, isn't it? Our eyes will be more and more opened to recognise Jesus in all the different situations we're in. I wonder if there's ever been any times in our lives when actually Jesus has been walking alongside us, like it was for those two, we've not known he was there. I wonder if that's even the case now for some of us. When things aren't all that easy, sometimes it's easy for us to forget Jesus, but he never forgets us. And even in those sad days, I love the whole story that he walked alongside them. And they said to each other, he's alive. And then they looked. He'd gone. He disappeared from them. And then they said to each other, wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And they got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying, the Lord is risen indeed, he has appeared to Simon. Then the two explained what had happened to them on the road, and then how they recognized the Lord when he broke the bread. And then the amazing thing, the next bit of the story, is that Jesus appeared to them all, as it were, to confirm everyone's different stories. So the women had seen him, Mary had seen him first, and then they appeared to the women, he appeared to Peter, appeared to these two on the road, and finally appeared to them all. Well, finally, I suppose, appeared to Thomas. We could say that's another story, who doubted him. Poor old Thomas. But they knew he was alive. But it took a long time to get there. And it wasn't just enough. I've been thinking about this recently, you know. Nowadays, when I was a student, we were all debating about whether or not you can prove Jesus came back to life or not. A lot of the people I talk to now are not bothered either way. They don't see it as relevant. And they had all the evidence, these two had all the evidence that Jesus was alive, because he wasn't in the tomb, they'd seen him die, he wasn't in the tomb, and the angel said he'd come back to life, but it hadn't made a difference in their lives. And I think it's not until we meet Jesus, it's not until we hear him explaining the Bible to us by his Holy Spirit, that it really makes a difference to us. So I wonder if we might bow our heads and just... Be quiet for a moment or two, and then I'll pray. Let's ask God that more and more we will recognize Jesus in our everyday lives. More and more we'll hear His Holy Spirit explaining the Bible to us. And it'll make a difference. Particularly when we're sad, particularly when we're beginning to lose hope. Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when He talked to us on the road and explained the Scriptures to us? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this lovely story. This amazing story that years and years ago, Jesus appeared to His followers when they were sad, when they were without hope, when they were without understanding. And there are times, Lord, we confess when we are sad, and it's not wrong to be sad. There are times when we begin to lose hope, and that's not wrong either. We thank You, Lord, that You appear to us and help us. You're always more willing to be with us and to help us than we are to recognize that You're there. So please open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, open our hearts to You. We pray that You'd open our minds to Your word, our spirits to Your word, so that we might echo what they said. Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when we met with Jesus and He explained the Scriptures to us? Lord, help us to understand more and more what it means for us personally, and to be able to introduce our friends and our families to Jesus, who can make all the difference, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we sing a song that begins, "In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures You won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea." I'm not sure if you know this song or not, but you soon will. Some of you are smiling as if you do. So we're going to stand and sing "My Lighthouse" together. Let's stand together, please.
My God.